Hey, welcome to News Rocky. This is Kevin coming to you live here from the Pie Hop Studio in downtown Norwich. And today, we're going to have a great conversation with some really interesting topics here covering the New London Port Authority and this battle that has been ensuing over the last year plus with regards to the Port Authority's pier operation. Now, there is a lot of great interest in this topic. There's a opportunity for job creation. There's a job opportunity here for all kinds of fishermen. But obviously, what's the most concerning is it's the jobs and the displacement of all the folks that have currently been working down there. We're going to get into this today on the News Rocky Show. So stay with us, stay tuned, and get in the ring. All right. Hey, guys, this is Kevin with News Rocky. Welcome back here. And we are planning here to have this really great conversation. We have three folks from this state pier issue down in New London, Connecticut. And on the phone with us, I'm going to allow the ringleader, Kevin, if you would be so kind to introduce the folks that you have with you today that you're bringing in. And we'll kind of set this up. The Port Authority issue that's been going on down there in the state pier has been creating this battle zone, I guess, so to speak, where we actually have fishermen that are being displaced. We have the pier being shut down. We have actually on the phone with us today or on the line with us today. We also have a gentleman who has a salt company who is also being displaced during this process. This is about job loss. This is about this opportunity where it looks like, guys, if you're paying attention to what News Rocky does, we want to take on fake news, corrupt news, and we also want to take on corrupt government. I know for a fact, when I was a state representative, that Governor Malloy, this was a mission of his. For some reason, something went awry. Governor Lamont now, the new governor of Connecticut, has continued the same process. The same old names keep popping up in this situation. Scott Bates, his wife, Mrs. Bates, not from the hotel. She's actually working for Governor Lamont. Kevin, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. I don't know if that was a good enough introduction for you. I get wound up enough for you?
It was great. Yep.
Okay. Good. So why don't you introduce your team and who you have with you today?
Well, my team is myself. I'll introduce myself. I'll let the other men, you know, speak for themselves. I would say I wouldn't describe us as a team. I would describe us as three individuals, you know, that what we share in common is that we recognize that the state pier deal is a result of corruption. It's based on bad judgment. It's going to harm each of us in our own ways, and it's going to harm the state.
Okay, so who else? We have Paul with us today. Correct, Paul?
Pete Olson,
sorry.
And I believe in Steve Farrelly as well.
Steve, so we had a lineup. Okay, very good. Pete Olson, would you like to maybe chime in and introduce yourself, Mr. Olson?
Right, certainly. I'm Pete Olson. I represent Local 1411. We've been providing union labor down at the State Pier since the 1930s. And we cannot get the new operator, who is a non-union operator out of New Haven, to sign our contract and or guarantee that they will talk to us when the state opens up the pier again.
Pete, are you saying that this is a union kind of dispute issue where how many union workers are actually at that state pier up to this point?
We had the way that longshoremen work happens is when a ship comes in, we need a lot of people, and then there's terminal people that work full time and move the cargo around, ship it out, and that sort of thing. So there were about 65 of us that were working part time and full time down there. Our wages were in the high 20s with some benefits, medical benefits, and that sort of stuff. And the state, through the CPA there, has put us out of work. We have four members still at work down there that are doing support because EB has an expansion project going on. So we're handling the offloading of trucks and stuff down there for the EB project through Skanska.
Okay, very good. Well, let's get Steve on here too, and then we'll come back to you on that because we want to make sure Steve gets a chance to speak. Steve, you're on the line with us still?
Yes, I am, Kevin.
Thank you. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit for the listeners about your business and really the impact to your business, employees, now that the state has basically kicked you off that pier.
Well, we started our operation down here. I'm the owner of Driven Enterprises. We started our salt distribution operation down here in the fall of 2014 after recognizing that the distribution system that we had in place was inadequate. So, you know, I took it upon myself. I saw a business opportunity and I saw an opportunity to help the consumer and municipalities in the region and throughout the state to have a second viable option to procure road salt. Mm-hmm. So we've been operating here for 6 years. And when the CPA was formed, there was rumblings that there was going to be a new bid process to look for a new terminal operator. And once the CPA had chosen Gateway, which was the opposing or competing terminal operator and a direct competitor of my company, I knew that the writing was on the wall. So the tone had changed from the Port Authority's mission in the RFP was to serve and protect the existing users of the port to getting displaced.
Interesting. So with regards to you, how many employees you said you had?
Well, we employ 14 full-time employees, right. And we employ as many as 50 to 70 subcontractor companies to help us with support services and trucking the salt.
So all these jobs are possibly, at this point, aren't looking like, it's pretty bleak, right? It looks like these jobs could be jeopardized because of some of the moves that are going on down there with the Port Authority. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And we're feeling a little of that this year because we had approximately 95,000 tons remaining that had to be removed. Mm-hmm. So with not having the ability to bring any more salt in, we had to back down on our bidding this year so we wouldn't get caught on being default in any contract. So, you know, a lot of the truckers that we would put on were trying to do more with less, so we come out whole at the end of finishing selling the salt product that we have here.
Interesting. Thank you, Stephen. So, Mr. Olson, back to you. I wanted to ask you, with regards to the unionized labor force that works down on the docks, is there any way that you could comment, Mr. Olson, with whether or not these individuals are going to get other jobs, possibly with some future projects? Is the state of Connecticut saying they're coming down to help you with this process? What's your feelings on that going forward with your employees? Mr. Olson, you still there? Evidently not. Kevin, you there?
Yep. Pete might be having a problem.
All right. That technology is funny for all of us. That's fine if he chimes in. Yep. Kevin, you're back on with us. So why don't we stay focused with this conversation? Let's get a little background for the listeners, right? You know this subject pretty well. You yourself have been noted. You've been in the paper. You've actually, you took some really risky chances, and I'll let you kind of talk about that. I think you know what I'm talking about with regards to really taking on the state, taking on this big topic of the Port Authority. Do you find that government, Governor Malloy's office, for example, when this thing started, Scott Bates in the position of Port Authority, who we want to talk a little bit about his position, because didn't Scott Bates get basically thrown out of that position of the Port Authority because of some sort of corrupt contract? Do you recall that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was asked by the governor to resign. He subsequently lied, about that. He said that, you know, Scott Bates said that he wasn't asked to resign. This was in a transportation committee hearing. But then Paul Mounds of the governor office said he was asked to resign. David Collins reported on it that Scott Bates was caught in a lie. So, yes, he was he was running the show. The Port Authority was fully his organization. And bear in mind that this is a person who was the principal author of Winning the War on Terror. Major political leader nationally and in the state, and his carelessness and bad judgment on display in the Port Authority was unbelievable.
Just for clarification, this is the same Scott Bates that we know now works in the Secretary of State's office, correct? Under Denise Merrill here in Connecticut. So although his hand was slapped for getting caught in the cookie jar, he still has a job with the state of Connecticut, right?
Well, not just a job. He's the Deputy Secretary of State, and right. I've pointed that out. That if an electrician wires a house and the house bursts into flames, it would only be logical that you then go back and check that man's previous work. Mm-hmm. And when everything blew up at the Port Authority, the governor, a lot of the press, a lot of the legislator just tried to sweep it under the rug as quickly as they could and move on. And but Scott Bates still has his job. His wife was working for the for the governor's office, and I believe is just recently left.
Okay, so you're saying Scott Bates, the nepotism, the corruption, the deep state keeps on beating here. Scott Bates keeps his job in the Secretary of State's office. By the way, he was not only serving as the Port Authority lead there, he was also then the deputy in the Secretary of State's office, making lots of money off of government connections. Do you have any concern about maybe the reaction from local leaders, state representatives, senators, people in office today, Governor Lamont? Do you think this corruption continues and that might be half of your battle?
Yeah, absolutely. That's I got into this fight, initially for business. I've continued it and carried it on principle. I believe that this is going to grow into something larger than Roland. I believe very strongly that it's likely that Lamont and a number of others will be out of office before this is over. That's if the truth comes out, if the press digs out the truth,
what would Governor Lamont right now, who inherited this situation, in your opinion, Kevin, what could be so corrupt that he would be forced to remove from office and or held accountable for criminal acts? Any opinion?
Well, I think just like say with Nixon, it wasn't so much as what they did as what they covered up. I think that I think that they knew that this deal, the entire RFP for State Pier was rigged. Okay. It was not an honest process. Logistec has been in the press. Logistec was competing in the RFP, mm-hmm. and they've stated that a number of other parties have attested that the RFP process was completely dishonest. I think that the problems were known about and the problems were covered up.
Interesting.
And I think that it is that willful covering up and they've broken the law quite a number of times.
Kevin, let me go over Pete, do we have you back on with us?
I think so. Okay. It says I'm unmuted.
Well, you know what? We don't have a video, but that's okay. We got a nice, it says Pete Olson, so we're good there. Stay like that as long as you can hear me. Pete, I want to get back to you on this situation. You've been involved here in the city of New London for a little bit. You've been involved with the State Pier for how many years now?
Well, I started in 1975.
I don't want to tell you when I was born, Pete, just for the record. Okay. But you could definitely be my uncle. I'll just leave it at that. But anyways, you weren't a mailman in Montville, right?
No, I was not.
Good. You're not my father. Anyways, so let's basically at the end of the day, you've been down here working. You've been a living, right? Creating a life and a livelihood. These jobs have been down there. Do you feel as if the local, say the mayor's office, maybe your state senators and representatives and the governor's office, do you feel a lot of concern from them about displacing the work down in the City Pier?
I think originally no, but I think we're gaining a little bit more concern for our plight from them, both Senator Formica and Senator Summers have mentioned us when they've been on air, Senator Summers with Lee Elsie and Senator Formica when we were at a CPA meeting. So they're starting to see that we have gotten a raw deal here where the state has partnered in a PLA with the other unions. We were told by Scott Bates originally that we can't put that they have to hire the union in down there. We can only say that they should negotiate with us in good faith. So we feel like we're getting the short end of the stick down there. Mm-hmm. We feel like we've been there for almost 90 years and providing good labor. It's been a great part-time job for some, a great full-time job for others. Mm-hmm. And just it does not seem right that the state, through the CPA, can award a contract to the non-union competitor down in New Haven,
right,
and put us out of business in New London. And then the operator says that they can't bring business into New London because we're too expensive. Well, for 20 years, when the CPA wasn't down there giving them the keys to the state, they couldn't get the business away from Logistec to go to New Haven.
Interesting.
So none of it makes any sense to me. We worked hard with Logistec to iron out contracts that would enable them to bring in business.
Yep.
And one of the reasons that Steve Farley was able to get his salt business going is because we negotiated with Logistec to do what needed to be done to get him in business up here. So,
Thank you.
It has been a good, business that we added to what was coming in. And, you know, the real problem as I see it in Connecticut is you're in Norwich. You just lost a great business up there. It used to be Phelps Dodge. I don't know what the other name was it, but they used to, at one point in time, they were bringing in 10,000 tons of copper a month to send up there to be processed. And I was informed that they moved out in October.
Right.
My issue is that since the state and couldn't get together with Gateway and Eversource quick enough to give them all they needed down at the state pier, in the fact that they're going to spend all the taxpayers' money to make it better. Mm-hmm. They're going to make it a single-use port at the end of the day, and they're going to allow Eversource and Ørsted to operate out of there for 10 years and not bring any cargo in.
So what you're talking about, and for the listeners of News Rocky here, what you're talking about is the actual creation of this wind project. Is that correct, Pete?
Correct.
Yeah, so in that, right. Steve Farley, I want to go over to Steve on this one. Steve, and I appreciate you hanging here with us, guys. And again, you're listening to News Rocky. We are talking about the city pier and the state pier in the city of New London. This issue is well documented out there in the media. We obviously have a great concern about job loss, the fact that people are being displaced. And Steve, you went down here. You're the entrepreneur, and not that the other folks aren't. You're the guy who said, you know what, I'm going to go put my money where my mouth is. You invested millions of dollars into this operation. The state supported you, or you thought. And do you feel a little betrayed by those people in power?
Absolutely. I thought we set out to do a good thing. We saw that the market was underserved for a product that's distributed for public safety. I thought in this whole process that at the end, when I started hearing about the wind, that there was going to have to be a compromise to give me a parcel of land here to continue what I thought we brought to the area, you know, to go back to what we had and had failed as far as salt distribution, to where we brought it, to where all the customers, even the customers that were being served out of New Haven. I can't imagine that everybody's service level got to be better because we were taking the burden off of the competing port that couldn't service the people in a timely fashion. I heard it from municipalities and other leaders and contractors that they just couldn't get the product fast enough when they needed it. So the fact that we've been able to be and have continued growth over the last 6 years just proves what we brought here is a necessity. Just like the wind is going to bring clean air, it can't be deemed more important than what we brought to the area as far as jobs creation and the importance of preserving our public safety. How could that be you know, not equal. I'm not saying that we don't need clean air, but not at the expense of putting what we worked hard for. My company, their employees, and the subcontractors have done over the last 6 years and just been so responsible to what we actually do. It's like a fire drill, Kevin. You know, when we have a storm, you know, we get phone calls that we need it now, and when can you help us? And we, you know, have put a team together to address everybody's needs and concerns. And I thought doing the right thing, because I think we created something that was what we needed here, and it holds no merit in the whole process. It's just like, hey, it's salt or wind, and why does it have to be that way? So, and another thing that is, you know, that has gotten, you know, I run through my mind all the time is when Orsted got involved early on and I had met with Joe Courtney's office, they had told me that they want to be a good neighbor. They don't want to come here and push people around. Mm-hmm. Well, what the heck happened? All of a sudden it's salt or wind. So where
hey, did Steve, you're bringing up Joe Courtney's name. We've talked about some of the other players, Paul Famica, Heather yep. Summers. We know that there are some efforts by some of the political people. All these people are nice, you know, approachable people. Do you feel the political side has let you down for some sort of insider's game? I mean, I'm sensing that's what's going on.
Absolutely. There's got to be no other reason. Absolutely. Because I personally think they all are good individuals, but there's something at stake here that they don't want to cross the line. And I don't think what we're asking as a company, because what we provide an essential service, should be overlooked by any politician. I think there should be a compromise.
Any corruption, in your opinion, anyone you want to name right here on the News Rocky Show, call them out if you believe it's true. Anybody involved in this process, I don't care if it's Scott Bates or whomever, call them out now right here and call it out like it is.
Well, I believe Scott Bates rolled on us because originally he told us as a company that we were going to have your back. So as the process started to unfold, he became less accessible to my company or people that worked for me, that we had open line of communication. And my last reaching out to Scott Bates was, hey, Scott, let's get together over a cup of coffee and see what you meant by you have my back, because I feel that it's unraveling and I'm not feeling too secure anymore.
So obviously, Kevin, I want to go over back to you. You kind of started off the conversation, you and I, we started going back and forth on this. Kevin, tell a little bit about your experience when dealing with the political officials, Kevin, if you can.
Well, dealing with them, I mean, that goes back, just starting about 3 years ago, I became involved in going to these Port Authority meetings. At first, people would kind of talk to me. Now nobody comes anywhere near me. Everybody tries to avoid me, you know, because we're just fighting all the time. I say that they, you know, most of them are scared to talk, you know, or scared to stand up and take any action. It seems that no legislator wants to really take this on. Joe Courtney, you guys were talking about, one of his biggest projects was this $12.8 million freight rail upgrade that leads to the port.
The Tiger Grant.
Right. And, you know, that was supposed to take cargo that came in to the port, put it on the trains, and then distribute it throughout the state to get cargo off of the roads, reduce congestion, reduce pollution. Mm-hmm. And this plan, they're actually going to rip all the tracks up. They're going to remove all the railroad tracks from State Pier, right, and then they're going to bring in windmill components, which don't use the rail at all. So that $12.8 million will be largely wasted.
Well, there was a lot of pomp and circumstance about that, right? The ribbons were being cut. I went there as a state official and a public official then. We were cutting ribbons for every Tiger Grant release of money and completion of projects. So money's wasted? The taxpayers' money's been thrown away, you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Because that project, Doug Lowe at the Genesee Wyoming Railroad said that project increased the capacity of the rail 11%, that prior to that, the tracks were in such poor shape that they couldn't run full. They had to run 11% light. Anybody in business knows 11% is huge. And of course, that would make the Port of New London uncompetitive. So we're just about to get our freight rail, up to full capacity. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, here comes the state and gives control of the place to our politically connected competition, New Haven. Meanwhile, New Haven has been trying for about 3 or 4 years to get rail into their facility. Mm-hmm. And bear in mind, our port is deeper water. We have 40 feet and they have something like, you know, 35 or 37. So we are, you know, competition. They wanted to keep us down. And that's what this is all about. This is all about taking out the competition. Steve is major competition to Gateway down there in New Haven. Mm-hmm. And take him out, you know, and take him out of the competition. The operator in New Haven is non-union. So come down here and take out our union, you know, take out, Kevin,
our governor and all of our political officials on the control party side, the Democratic people. And I know we don't want to make this into politics, but these folks that have been in power, they really support unions. Are you telling me that they're actually trying to put union workers out of business? And you're also saying the really strong sort of claim here that this was a political sort of support in efforts to help this business, the RFP process. Was it FOI? Did you get the freedom of information? Did you get all the details? Do you have that?
Yeah, I FOIA'd it and gotten, a copy so heavily redacted that it's hard to...
Why is it redacted? What, this is not a criminal investigation, or is it?
I guess they said it was proprietary, or it was, I think it was, I forget the exact wording, but that it was proprietary information. David Collins has fought and been blocked on legal bills. The Port Authority has had a team of lawyers working to block FOIA requests from David Collins in the day. Mm-hmm.
Have you guys retained an attorney, Kevin, your group or anybody involved in this?
Have I retained an attorney?
Anybody involved that you know of have an attorney?
Well, I mean, at one point, Steve had retained an antitrust attorney and filed complaints to the attorney general, which were unanswered. That was reported on the press. I myself have, a while ago had hired an attorney to look into my possible, recourse. I think the state is so big and so powerful, in terms of their resources and the number of lawyers that they have that, legally it's that.
Kevin, are you a fisherman? Are you in the fishing industry or
no? I'm a lawns for a living. I cut a lot of hay.
So where is this personally affecting you for that?
How is it personally affecting me? Well, right. 3 years ago I made up my mind I was going to make a market for rocks and boulders, which are a byproduct of cropland clearing for the use in coastal resiliency. I made up my mind I was going to do anything it took to make that market. I figured it would take me about 10 years. A big part of that market is going to be transportation of the rocks, because the rocks themselves have almost no value. Mm-hmm. But in places like Long Island, 18 miles off the shore, they don't have rocks. Mm-hmm. So if we can efficiently ship our rocks out there, to be used in seawalls and breakwaters and things of that nature, there will be business out.
So your job creating, you were going to create jobs, you were going to create a sort of get into an industry, and they're literally a stone wall was built in front of you.
Yeah. And it's dishonest. It's on principle, on American principle, what they're doing is wrong and it's dishonest.
Is it unconstitutional? Do you think anything here has been questionably in the Constitution, even in Connecticut here?
Yeah. I'd say that, personally, I could go into, things where my federal rights have been violated by by the Lamont administration in their arresting and in their questioning of me in their fabricating felony charges against me. But
did you get arrested? Did you get arrested?
Yeah, twice. Once for interrupting a meeting, which I told them I was going to do civil disobedience, once for going down to State Pier in the middle of the day and painting their signs pink.
So wait, you got arrested for civil disobedience. And yep. when was this arrest that took place?
Let's see, that was February 11th or 12th, whatever day they signed the Harbor Development Agreement.
That was of last year, 2020?
No, yeah, 2020, right.
2020. So it was obviously prior to the corona sort of locking down and all the civil unrest in our country that no arrests were given. You were obviously an exception to that rule. Yep. You actually, did you get a fine? What happened with that?
Let's see, had to go to court, and they dismissed it.
They did. Yep. What was the other arrest? Because I think I know, but I'd like you to tell the listeners, Kevin, what actually happened with that.
Let's see, went down to State Pier, probably 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Had got some pink paint at the hardware store, painted the signs at State Pier pink, and then told the Port Authority I did it.
Wait, why pink?
To make sure that people understand the connection between.
I'm on a Zoom meeting.
Yep.
With
okay.
I'll be done
in London and Fort Trumbull, the little pink house.
Okay, so I think we dropped Steve, or at least, okay. Steve, if you can still hear me, you just got to talk, hit your mute button when you want to talk, and then we'll bring you back on. Kevin, that little pink house, that statement to government, to local authority, you painted the signs, you were arrested for what?
First degree, it was
criminal mischief.
Yeah, first degree criminal mischief. A felony based on estimate that the signs cost $1,600. Some very short investigation by the press found that the signs were only worth $400. That they had inflated the value to make it a felony.
Listen, I think that, you stepped up, you made a decision to stand up and, as you say, to exercise your rights as an American here when you feel you're being wrong. So I want to go back, Pete, if you're still with me, I really want to ask you, if you are, I want to go back to you again, and I want to ask you, what's the feeling? You're a City of New London guy, Pete, your whole life, you said?
No, I was actually from across the river over in Ledger, working in New London.
But the New London politics, the history of politics in the area. You've been with the union a while. I'm assuming you're representing people and you probably do negotiate deals with local officials. Yeah. Do you feel that Mike Passero's office is passionate, has been passionate about supporting and helping you folks? Or do you think maybe there's been a change of heart since the beginning to where he is now?
Actually, I met with Mike Passero early on, and he assured me that if it came to it, that he would walk a picket line with us.
Okay. So you believe that? Has he been able to push back from these guys?
Haven't had any real discussion since then. I just, when somebody tells me they have my back, I admit that's untrue.
Okay.
My issue is really with, people in politicians and what have you really just can't hand things over quick enough when somebody comes in talking millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And Eversource and Orsted got everybody's attention through Scott Bates as a mouthpiece about how many millions of dollars they were going to put in. And it went from, they were going to bring in 15 million or 50 million, whatever it was in the beginning, dollars to upgrade the State Pier. It was going to be a $90 million job. It was going to create 500 jobs. And as we keep going through this year after year, it's down to maybe 50 jobs. They cannot, will not. Assure me that they will use the low labor. My issue with the wind turbines is that we never own them. Mm-hmm. So we will be supporting the monarchs of Sweden and Denmark when those turbines start producing power at an unregulated cost. And if you think your power in Connecticut is the expensive now, it's probably second or third in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we could get to number one when we bring in the wind. Orsted is the largest wind operator in the world.
Uh-huh.
They've saturated the market over there in Europe, so they needed a new market here. I cannot get a guarantee of, I've reached out to Orsted. They have said that they will get back to me in the new year. I'm still waiting for that.
Okay.
But I cannot get an assurance from anybody, Gateway, Orsted, the CPA, that we will be the ones that handle the labor and the materials when they come back, when the pier is done.
What's your next move, Pete? Pete, what's the next move for you representing your body, What are you going to do next? What's the plan? What are you going to be executing, you know, for the next move here in this fight?
I'm going to continue to reach out to the newspapers and the politicians, because I think that they all want to get reelected each time, since there's no such thing as term limits. But I'm also going to try and approach things on our national security. It's down in Clinton, the water company down there has been sold to a California outfit. So we now send Connecticut money to California for our water. I've been informed that Eversource bought another one of the water companies, but they also expanded throughout Massachusetts and stuff. But until I can get an assurance that Orsted will use our labor to offload the ships, yep, move the material around down at the state pier, I'm going to keep pushing the politicians and keep trying to have meetings with the CPA, mm-hmm, and what have you. I feel that we've been down there, like I said before, for 90 years,
yep,
and that we need to keep some very good local jobs. What doesn't really wash for me is Gateway, who has this other port 40 miles away, won't allow any of us to come down there and work, mm-hmm, even though it's non-union,
right,
to keep our skills sharp while the two-year project goes on. And I think they are going to sublease, this is my real fear, is they'll sublease their obligation to the state. They'll sublease it to Eversource and Orsted and won't have to deal with us.
Do they have the ability in the contract to sublease out on this pier, in your opinion, or anybody on the panel? Because, you know, in these RFP processes, it should be spelt out whether or not you have the ability to actually sublease this state property.
I had a meeting with the CPA, and that's the sort of tone that I got from them, mm-hmm, is that they were going to allow Gateway to sublet.
So government's making the decisions not for or by the people, but they're just making it with these business relationships. Steve, I want to bring you back on here. Thank you, Pete, by the way. And Steve, getting you back to the subject, you're looking at moving all of your equipment. In fact, I think I read you had a certain time frame before you had to get all your stuff, the salt equipment, off that pier. Are you completely out of the pier and off the pier now?
No, we're still in operation here. They had granted us an extension to
stay of execution.
Right? Yeah, so they granted us an extension in writing to the end of January, and we are to address how much salt I moved since I was granted that extension. And we have moved quite a bit since that meeting. I think it was early in December.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that we get the time to sell the salt here and satisfy our customer obligations and satisfy our financial obligations, and then, you know, we'll be moving on. You know, the fact is, everybody wants to believe that I want to be a nuisance. I don't want to be a nuisance, but there is a misconception that I can just pack up my business and like it was a hot dog cart and just go somewhere else and it's operational. I've yet to find a piece of property that has 34 foot of water, mm-hmm, that you can bring a ship alongside and empty it in 5 days. And then once the product is unloaded, leave it in a stockpile and bring it to a point of sale. On a busy day down here, we have as early as 5 o'clock in the morning, we could have 70 trucks delivering 350 to 400 truckloads a day. That is not happening anywhere else, but I consider this place the end of the world. You drive any farther, you're going into the water. So at any given time, when we're conducting business to preserve public safety, we are not a nuisance to anybody. So when somebody can find me that location that keeps me within my budget and my cost structure so I can be efficient in my productivity for my customers and give them affordable pricing, you know, this is probably going to be the end of the road.
So another time, in other words, rather, in this time right now in the state of Connecticut, across the country, when we see small businesses struggling, large companies struggling, we see businesses going out of business every day, you're in a situation where you say that you have yet to find this location. You actually have the location. You've contractedly correctly been given opportunity for location. You're getting pushed out by basically a competitor and the support of government. And this is the corruption. You know, to me, what I'm hearing from all three of you gentlemen, Steve, Kevin, and Pete, you're really being pushed around and supported by government in this process. Kevin, I want to go to you here as we're wrapping things up, guys. Kevin, what's the next move for you in this fight, in this battle?
Let's see. Before I answer that question, I just want to add one thing to what you just said, and that is that we and a whole bunch of Southeastern Connecticut American businesses are being pushed around by the government, you know, having state pier taken away and given to a foreign entity. So just remember those jobs that Pete is talking about, that Steve is talking about, the 60 or 70 subcontractors that Steve has, those are real jobs. Those are they really exist, and they're really going to be destroyed. All the jobs that they're talking about bringing with this windmill component, they're imaginary and fake until they actually occur. And that is worth noting. And it has to be noted that, you know, we're giving state pier, which it's not an accident that it's set up to and that it allows, you know, Steve to be successful. That it's the product of good judgment from our government, millions and millions and millions of dollars and 100 years of people adding to it and protecting it, you know, to set up that facility for our country and for our businesses to, you know, to capitalize on. And now we're giving it to a company that is 50% owned by the Danish government at the expense of our guys. And to me, that's the biggest signal of corruption. My next move is I just filed a request to intervene in the DEEP permit. The DEEP permit just went to public notice a few weeks ago.
Okay.
There is a process allowed through Section 22A19 of Chapter 439 of the Connecticut DEP, you know, rules or statutes that allows any person, business, organization, et cetera, to intervene. And so I'm going for intervener status. I just got notice from the Office of Adjudications that my request to intervene was received. On Friday, I'm going before the State Contracting Standards Review Board, and I filed a complaint before them. I know that Pete filed a complaint. I know that Steve filed a complaint, and I know that Chris Frixel, who had hoped of the Associated Builders and Contractors representing 200 businesses from the state of Connecticut, also filed a complaint before that Contracting Standards Review Board, you know, asking that an investigation be done of the RFP and of what happened, because I am certain that as soon as anybody looks, the corruption and bad judgment is going to be so blatantly clear, you know, that this whole scandal will really, really light up.
Well, I want to say, listen to the panel today, Kevin, Pete, and Steve, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. We're gonna work with you and offline, Kevin. I'll reach out to your team, and I say team meaning, you know, you kind of coordinate this today with Pete and Steve. We'll get back with you guys. We're gonna have you come back and give us an update. Anything we can do on News Rocky to support you, I want to say thank you again as we close out. We'll get you back on into a Zoom call at some point so we can move right on, Slay. And so thank you on News Rocky for coming on and talking about your issues down there today. Thank you, Pete. Thank you.
1 minute before we sign off.
Go ahead.
I did get a call from Chris Blanchett of the Carpenters Union that he has committing to put us to work under the Carpenters Union during the construction or reconstruction of the pier. So it's not like we're not being supported by some, but it's really my gripe is with the state and the CPA. And my worry is of national security.
So. I appreciate that, Pete. Thank you for clarifying that. Again, thank you to the panel today. I'm going to get into a little bit of my thoughts as we close out the show on the News Rocky Hour here, coming to you from the downtown Norwich Pie Hop studio at 80 Broadway. Listen, this is what it comes down to. I worked in government. I was a part of government. I was not only a first selectman in a small little town up there in Griswold, but I also was a state representative in the 45th district. I can tell you the worst part about government is when government gets involved with private business and enterprise. They ruin it each and every time. They don't know how to stay out of their own way. And what we're seeing here is we're hearing the same names. Governor Malloy, Scott Bates, Scott Bates' wife. We have Joe Courtney. We have the other names of people that have been involved in this process, including Governor now Lamont, who are all included in this cast of characters who seem to be hell-bent on putting the pier into the hands of a foreign company for the benefit of what? To allow an opportunity for another company in competition with a average everyday guy, Steve, who starts this salt company. Gateway gets to come up and push him off the pier, putting 60 plus, almost 80 jobs out of work. Plus you got Pete's guys, 60 plus. Plus you got the other folks we didn't talk about. We didn't get into Mr. Devis or any of the other folks, Kevin and the folks down there who have the fishing industry that is also being displaced. You know, guys, this is what it comes down to. When you're watching News Rocky, when you're listening to the show, we take on fake news, we take on news of the day, but we're going to take on government. Because you know what? Government, you work for us. We don't work for you, and it's time for us to push back. I'm tired of this happening to people, and so aren't the citizens of this great country and state. Guys, this is News Rocky. We had a great show today. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll get back in the ring.